Any question from the audience? Now, perhaps I can ask you the first question to you. When you look back to your first patient with the catheter, you did your phase mapping. You sent the patient to a vascular access department. What went wrong? If you look back, why did he still receive the catheter and not in vascular access?
I think the communication is still a problem. I think we learned that in a previous talk, that communicating, that getting vascular mapping alone is not enough. We need to communicate that information to the surgeon. And then the biggest thing that I think we need to do a better job on that as nephrologists, it's not about emotional confrontation. It's strategic communication with the surgeons. We really need to hold them accountable. I mean, this situation is not acceptable. I can tell you that we took those studies, I did, that we had done, and we went to the surgeon and said, help us understand. We have the mapping, and these are the diameters. Why was the fistula not created? And, you get into those things, the patient didn't want the fistula, and that is not true. So I think if we start holding people accountable, we can make a difference.
Okay, we have some questions from the audience. The first one is, do a hand exercise just help in a fistula maturation?
Yeah, I'm not so sure, although exercise doesn't hurt. You know, any type of exercise is a good idea. The pathology is that stenosis that I showed you. So while I encourage, exercise, I don't think that the exercise with the ball would help mature the vascular axis.
Second one. Is AV fistula are less prevalent in women? Why?
I'm sorry, I didn't
understand. AV fistula are less prevalent in women. Why?
Yeah, again, I showed you the data, and I can tell you, whoever is asking, this is a great question, I can tell you all the centers that I mentioned, including University of Miami, there was no difference. The difference was commitment of that particular surgeon to the creation of the fistula. Go to Surin Chinoy's center in WashU, and you'll see that 85% of his patients receive arteriovenous fistula. In that cohort, males and females equal. If you have that information on the mapping and you know the diameter of the fistula, of the veins and arteries, you can create a fistula. If that is not available, still in the upper arm, you have many, many options to create an upper arm fistula instead of the forearm. So don't give that up on females that, fistula can't be created, because the data are showing that there's much information on female and younger patient, older patient in fistulas in centers that create a whole lot of fistula.
Okay, another question is, how quickly do these newer techniques mature? After what time can we use them? Is it all 4 to 6 weeks, or do we have to wait longer?
For these two techniques thanks for that question.
Yeah.
The best that I could get from those two papers is that these fistulas are available somewhere between 6 to 8 weeks for dialysis. That's a great question. Many of those patients did need a secondary procedure. The papers did not clarify exactly the timing of that, so that's the best I could draw from the papers, and I'm sharing that with you.
I don't understand it completely, but I will ask a question. Are you concerned about contrast-induced AKI in a late-stage 4 or 5 patient not yet in dialysis? And related question, or procedures do they expose patients with marginal function to contrast?
Perhaps
you understand the question, but I don't understand it completely.
Yeah, so contrast-induced, the question is about contrast-induced AKI in patients who are advanced CKD and who are going to have a mapping procedure, particularly venography. So I will tell you that many, many years ago, when I was at University of Miami, we did a study. We took exactly this population, CKD stage 4, nearing dialysis. Half of our patients were diabetics, and we did not find a difference. One of the patients, 4%, ended up getting AKI and ended up needing dialysis, way less than Rick Solomon's paper of 11% contrast nephropathy. So we did not find a risk. The thing that we did was we used 10 cc's of contrast. 10 cc's of contrast to perform entire mapping with a road mapping technique. We mixed 10 cc's of contrast with 10 cc's of saline. We put a line in, we injected that slowly, and we followed with our camera the entire system as the dye was running through here all the way into the central circulation. Clearly, if you put 100 cc's, you'd have a different outcome. All the studies that have reported on contrast nephropathy have used the total dye about 150 to 300 cc's. Our dye was 10 cc's. So ask your radiologist to limit the dye. It's also a risk factor, and you should not have that. In addition to our study, several other studies later then reported similar results to what we had found, and I can think of Rick Mishler's study in Kidney International. I'm forgetting the year, maybe 2007, 2008. He repeated our study and emphasized same message in a much larger cohort, I think Kidney International. He published that.
One question for me, if you, in the United States, many people are still starting with a catheter. If you could look in the future, within now 5 years, how will vessel access creation and the new techniques will change?
I really hope so. I really hope so. I think what nephrologists need to know, that's the title. I was thinking about it as I was coming here. I think what we need to do as a group, as a specialty, is hold our surgeons and our colleagues more accountable, and at the same time hold ourselves accountable. Get the mapping, provide that mapping to the surgeon, and I think the best way, I perform mapping for many years myself, and I learned that I probably was not doing a good job. I ended up asking Steve Unger at University of Miami to do mapping himself. And when he started doing mapping, our fistula rates also went up. So, I thought that I was helping my patients. I should do mapping. Nephrologists should do mapping. I ended up saying that I think surgeons are the best people to do mapping because they're the ones who are going to do surgery. But somebody needs to hold somebody accountable to avoid the outcomes that you saw that we just saw in 2018 in my patient.
Dr. Zoran has a question for you.
Yeah, Arif, that was great. Learned a lot. And one of the issues is, as you mentioned, good care prior to reaching end-stage renal disease and placement of appropriate access during that period should a patient be perceived to have a risk of ESRD. What would you say is the right time to place an AV fistula if a person is eligible and suitable for that?
Yeah, I think stage 3 is still good, stage 3B.
A fistula?
Yeah, so start talking about planning for fistula. And, we're putting together some information that it's even better in terms of blood pressure management. Of course, we haven't published that study yet, but I think it's a good idea to start thinking about stage 4 for sure. You should have it.
And do you tell your patients, do you advise them if they refer to you, not to use the arm anymore where the catheter of the fistula will be placed? No cannulations anymore?
Absolutely. So you have to kind of empower the patient, mm-hmm. patient activation and engagement to tell them that, look, don't let anybody access here. And tell them the reasons why that is. Then they protect it. Otherwise, if you don't, then the nurses come and say, we want to put this here, and say, okay.
Yes.
Since you mentioned standardization, for those patients who still undergo surgical AVF creation, do you think there's any role for those devices that standardize the angle of the vein emergence and the size of the fistula orifice?
Yeah, thank you for asking that question, and I'm going to take that head on. I have not been a device, a happy individual in interventional nephrology. I think those devices cause more problems for us. And I just say this, and I've written about this, that look at the outcomes by specific centers. What is it that they are doing, and they can create 90% fistulae in their cohort? We need to have that instead of finding another device that I can hook in and create the fistula. I know there's a lot of push from companies and all of that, but I still am in the other pool that we need to be better in creating the standard fistula than to come up with an anastomotic device that would do that. These create the fistula. The anastomosis is real. There's no foreign body in there. That's why I think that these techniques may have some role. Thank you.
I have a comment on the question of, you know, CKD is a very silent disease, and vast majority of patients don't accept it. They are deceived by denial. So even if they have follow-up, even in stage 3, stage 3B, when you start planning, telling them, they just shy away until they come to the end of end stage. This is what's happening in third world countries, even in U.S. So how do you overcome that, especially if this new endovascular techniques is readily available? That's a big challenge.
You know, I can give you the political answer that we need to do a better job in educating them on all of that, and I can give you the real answer. You know, it's just one of those realities. Some don't want it. At University of Miami, we did mapping in dialysis unit. Of all my patients, we had 200 patients. I mapped every single person. These were the patients. Many of those, 60% were consigned to catheters. So I took all of those. And 20% of those patients said, yeah, I know I have the vein. I know I have the artery. I don't want it. So those are some tough realities. And you say, okay, well, I just wanted you to know that I wanted you to have that information that you can create a fistula. Certain people, I mean, certain patients, I think this is their choice. You just got to abide by those.
Okay, any other questions? No? Right. In that case, I'll thank you for
Thank you very much.